Surely somebody could say amen right there. Amen. Amen. God's good. Amen. Amen. God is good all the time and all the time. There you go. You are awake. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. It's great to have an opportunity to be here to worship the Lord together. The Lord's given us a beautiful day. This is a day that He has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Let's go to Him in a word of prayer. Ask God's blessing on the service this morning. Brother Ceylon, would you pray for us this morning? Amen. Again, it's good to see you. If you will take a hymnal, turn over to page number 120. Let's all stand and sing together about the victory we have in Jesus.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me and I heard about a mansion He has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story, and some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
Church, you can have a seat. Choir, if you will remain standing with me. Let's turn over to page number 139. Page 139, let's sing the first and the last of At Calvary. Everyone sing together now.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me He died on salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at
Again, it's great to have you in the house of the Lord this morning. If you're visiting with us, you are our special guest, and we thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship. We also have some special guests with us this morning. We have Brother Joshua and his wife Kaylee Brady. And we're looking forward to what Brother Josh has. He's going to be bringing our message this morning. So you be much in prayer for him. You pray for him this morning as if it were you up here. And I know he'd appreciate that. So just pray for him today, and we look forward to what the Lord has for us here at Calvary. And but it is great to have you guys with us here in the house of the Lord this morning here at Calvary. So please remember also the shoebox workers. Is this the fourth Thursday coming up? Somebody, anybody tell me? It is? All right. So that means you will need to be here at 1 o'clock in the fellowship hall on Thursday to work on the shoeboxes for Christmas. So that's been a great, great opportunity to be able to be a witness. And so thank you for all the work. If you have any questions or anything, you can get in touch with Cassie. And her phone number is in the bulletin. And so if you have anything that you need to have a question about, if you want to make donations, I believe the jar is probably still down here. And I know that that would be greatly appreciated as well. Well, thank you again for continuing to pray for Charlie. She is doing better. And it's kind of a slow recovery, but she's beginning to get her appetite back a little bit. And her stomach is beginning to get back into regular sync. And we're very thankful for that. So you please just continue to pray for her. And we sure appreciate that. Also, please pray for Brother Trail's brother. He's going through a very difficult time physically. And the Lord knows all about it. And we just want to lift him up in prayer this morning. And Trail, we pray for you and for your family. And pray the Lord would just be with you guys in a very special way. Also, Miss Claudia, she has, I think, 4 doctor's appointments this week. She has one tomorrow, then I think Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday she has doctor's appointments. And you can well imagine how you would feel if you had that many doctor's appointments to start with. But they're going to be talking about whether or not they're going to be able to do surgery, is my understanding. So we ask that you would just please remember Miss Claudia, that the Lord would touch her, give her that peace that passes all understanding. And I remember a verse we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. That's a great verse to hang on to. We do get afraid, and it's just the natural in us to be afraid when things like this come about. But Claudia, we love you. We're praying for you, and we're going to lift you up to the Lord. We're going to do that this morning. But let's just ask the Lord to be with us in a very special way today. Pray for Brother Josh as he brings our message. Pray for the choir. Some of are traveling. We've got a lot of folks that are traveling here and about today, and we're getting close to graduations and things such as that, so there'll be a lot of things going on. We just want to lift each other up in prayer. But again, thank you for being here today. Father, we love you, and we do thank you for the opportunity that we have to be able to be in your house. Lord, we sense and feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in this place, and we're thankful for that. Lord, we thank you for the choir and the songs that we hear and are available. People are available here to sing today. And Lord, you've given us that opportunity just to worship you in song, and we thank you for that. Thank you for our musicians. And Lord, we pray that you'd bring everyone back to us that's traveling safely, Lord. And I pray that you just continue to be with these who are going through difficult times. For Trail's brother, Lord, I pray that you would touch him in a very special way. Lord, I lift Claudia up to you today. Lord, I thank you for her. And Lord, her faithfulness speaks volumes to us. Lord, sometimes it's all she can do just to walk across the room. But she's in your house again this morning. We thank you for that. But we want to lift her up to you, Lord, because I know that she is, Lord, she's nervous about what's going on and what's going to take place in this next week. But Lord, I'm glad to know that we can call on you, that you're the great physician, the one in charge and in control. Lord, we pray that you would just touch her. Lord, I pray again that you'd be with us today, and you know exactly what we need. Lord, I believe that you have given a message to Brother Josh this morning, and Lord, I pray that you'd help him as he comes to deliver your word, that, Lord, you'd give him that calm and settled spirit that he stands in need of today. Lord, may your word speak to us. Lord, I pray again that you'd be with us. You know what is needed. I pray that you bless the offering, both the gift and the giver. Give us a great day in your house, and we'll be careful to praise you and thank you now, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. have one correction. The shoebox, the fourth Thursday is not this coming Thursday, but the following Thursday, I believe. So I apologize for that. But not this coming Thursday, but the following at 1 o'clock here in the fellowship hall. Choir, stand with me, sing. Crossing the calm sea with Jesus, the disciples were getting concerned. The wind started violently blowing, but he was asleep in the stern. Does he not care that we perish? We're helpless and we're so afraid. But Jesus arose when they called him and said to them, where is your faith? Hit you without any warning. The storm of your life had begun. But seeing no hope in the distance, you're frightened and nowhere to run. By now your vessel is filling, and you're thinking that you'll surely drown. You've cried out for help from the Savior, and you know you can't give up now because you prayed on. You're up there worried while he's fast asleep. The winds are so deadly, the water's so deep. But try to be patient, 'cause he'll soon bring peace. Just one word from his voice, and it all must cease. Child, your cries have awoken the Master. Give me a key, for God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. Sing it with me, church. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He answers prayer. Answers prayer. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. He's so good to me. God is so good again. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. If you want to come, the altar's open. It always is. Listen now. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus. Like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, Jesus, oh Jesus, let all heaven and earth proclaim. And kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Yes, there's something about that. Praise the Lord this morning. Father, we again come to you this morning on behalf of Trail's brother. Lord, you know exactly the storm that he is facing. Lord, we pray this morning that you would so touch him. Lord, I pray that you would give him that calmness and that spirit of knowing that you're in charge and in control. Lord, we pray your healing hand upon him. But Lord, we pray that your will and that your way would be accomplished. And everything that is done, Lord, everything that takes place, Lord, I pray that they would be able to see, Lord, your fingerprints have been all over every situation that he's going through. And again, I pray for comfort and strength for the family. You know exactly what is needed. None of this has taken you by surprise. Lord, it surprises us sometimes. Lord, it hurts sometimes. But Lord, we know, Lord, you're a loving God. You're a merciful God. You're a kind God. Lord, we're glad to know that you're a healing God. Lord, again, we just pray your will and your way be accomplished in his life. Be with the family and strengthen them in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, it is so good to have you here with us this morning, but we are very excited to have Brother Joshua Brady with us to bring our morning message, so you be much in prayer for him. Brother Josh, if you will come at this time, you just let the Lord lead you. You close out the service as the Lord would have you to, and if we can help in any way in that, we'll be here for you. We love you. God bless you.
And while the choir was singing, preachers probably know this. The Lord kind of changed my heart on the message. So I ask that you pray for me here this morning. And I want you to turn your Bibles over to the book of Job here. Book of Job. And we'll try to preach what the Lord's laid on our heart here. I love the book of Job. Job has been one of my favorite books in the Bible to study out of. I've gotten a lot of help from the book of Job. And I just pray that we can get some help here this morning. Job, and we're going to read in verse number 1, but I do want to look at some things going on here, see, introduce you to the book of Job. So we're opened up in the book of Job, chapter number 1, introduced to the man named Job who lived in the land of Uz. And verse number 1 said, Job was a perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. In other words, he hated evil. And so it went on to list the different things that Job had. Job was one of the richest men in the East at this day and time. And they measured that wealth by how much livestock they had and how big of a family they had. And so as we look here in the book of Job, it lists that he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And it begins to list all the livestock that he had. And he had the different servants to help watch over the livestock in which that he had been blessed with. And then starting in verse number 6, we see where the sons of God had went to present themselves to God. And it says that Satan also showed up. And it said that talking to Satan there, God looked at him and said, "Where comest thou?" And he said, "From walking to and fro in the earth." And God looked unto Satan and he said the famous words that I'm sure a lot of us are familiar with. He said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? For there's none like him." God said, you're walking to and fro. Have you even considered Job? And because there's none like him among the all the people on the earth. And Satan looked at God and said, "I can't touch Job because of the hedge of protection that you have around him and all that Job has." And because of that hedge of protection that you have around him, that's why he serves you the way that he does. The reason that Job is a perfect and upright man and hates evil is because you protect him. But if you drop down that hedge of protection, God, and allow me to tempt Job, Job will surely curse thee to thy face. And God said, "Okay, Satan, you can tempt Job, but you cannot touch Job." And so we're going to pick up reading in verse number 13 of chapter 1. And it says, "And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, 'The oxes were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servant with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee.' While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, 'The fire of God has fallen from heaven and has burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee.' While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, 'The chattings made out 3 bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servant with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee.' While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, 'Thy sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the 4 corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee.' Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped and said, 'Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.' And all this Job sinned not, nor charge God foolishly." And so we see here, as the devil begins to work on Job here, Job has went from being one of the richest men in the day and time that he lived to being just a poor, common, average person that you would see in that day and time. In a matter of minutes, Job went from having all this livestock and having all the servants and having 7 sons and 3 daughters, and in a moment, just a blink of an eye, Job had lost everything that he had. You say, how do you know it was just a moment? As we look in the scripture, it says, as he was yet speaking, there came another messenger. And while that messenger was speaking, there came another. And just back to back, boom, 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 Job has lost it all. Now, I don't know about you, but me as a human and just in the flesh, as I read the scripture and I begin to think of storms and trials, and if I have went from having all this livestock, having all this wealth, and having all these children to all of a sudden having absolutely nothing, I would not be as calm as Job was here. I would have anger that would build up inside of me. I would have sorrow that would fill my heart because my children are dead. But yet, Job looked here and he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall return thither. The Lord has gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job said, see, the reason I can continue to bless the Lord, the reason I can continue to praise God, is I have already come to the realization, to realize that everything that I had, the livestock, the servants, the land, and my children, they have all come from God. They all belonged unto God. The Lord saw fit to bless me with them. And for whatever reason, the Lord saw fit to take them away. So all I can do is bless God and thank Him for the time in which I had it. And you think that was the end of it all. And Job would begin to rebuild everything that he had there. But as we go into chapter number 2, the sons of God have went to present themselves unto the Lord once again. And there comes Satan once again. And he begins to look at God and says the same thing. I've been walking to and fro in the earth. And God looked at him again and said, hast thou considered my servant Job? Because there's none like him in all the earth. It was a little blow to the devil. God saying, man, remember a while back you said if I removed that hedge and you were able to tempt Job, Job will surely curse me to my face. Yeah, I let you tempt him. I allowed you to take everything that Job had. And still, there's none like him among all the earth. Satan said unto God, if you would just let me touch him. If I could just touch Job, then surely he will curse thee to thy face. And so we go here back to chapter number 2, verse number 6. It says, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took a posture to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then his wife came unto him, said unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But if she, but he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Even in the midst of his storm, he still could not curse God. Now he's lost his livestock, which was his wealth there. He's lost his servants. He's lost his kids. Now the devil is beginning to go even further, and he begins to attack Job's health. And he began to smite him with sore boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his foot. And I don't know how many people has ever had boils, but I know that I've had hives in my life. I've had poison ivy in my life. And I know when I get those bumps that come up, they itch and they burn and they'll about drive you crazy. And there Job was. He had to take a broken piece of pottery and he scraped all them boils off. And there he sat. And the one person you think that would help give Job some comfort, the one person you think that would be there by Job's side to help him in the midst of his trouble would have been his wife, his helpmeet that God had given him. But now she has come to Job and said, why don't you just go ahead and curse God and die? While you still have your integrity, just curse God and die. And Job looked at her and said, I can't curse God and die. God still has been good to me. God has still blessed me. I don't understand why I'm going through what I'm going through, but I'm not going to curse God because God is still good. I remember times in my life where the devil would begin to fight and the devil would begin to try to tempt me and try to get me down and try to get me to wave the white flag of surrender. And I remember those times there where as I began to get beat down. And I remember one time in particular where it seemed like I was at the point of hitting rock bottom. I got to the place where I didn't feel like my prayers were getting through to God. There was days where I'd wake up and I'd think to myself, I have nothing to thank God for. And man, the devil was just giving one punch after another punch after another punch. Oh, and it began to beat me down. And I finally got to the place where I said, God, why am I going through what I'm going through? God, I'm doing everything that I know that I can do for you. God, I'm serving you wholeheartedly. God, I get up on Sunday and I get in the choir and I sing praises unto you. God, I go on visitation. God, I read my Bible. God, I do all these things for you. But yet it seems for some reason I'm going through this hard time. I can only imagine. Though Job may not have expressed it here in the scripture, I believe on the human side in his heart, Job was probably thinking, what have I done to deserve this? Matter of fact, if you continue reading on, Job's friends had heard of his condition and had come to give him words of encouragement. And when they get there, instead of encouraging him, they begin to point their finger at him and saying, because of your sin, that's why you're going through. Job, you've got something in your life. There's a reason why you're going through what you're going through. Can I ask you how many times have you had that in your life? Where you get to a place where you say, I don't feel like I can go on anymore. I get to that place where you say everything's going wrong. It doesn't seem like anything can go right. And you get to the place where you say, God, what else do you want me to do? God, I'm doing everything that I know I can. Now remember, as I began to pray that, God began to show me some things. If you want God to answer some things and give you an answer, just ask him and he will. He said, okay, well, you say that you're praying, but do you pray like you're supposed to? Well, God, I do pray, but do you pray like you're supposed to? Man, as it began to sink into me, I began to think about it for a little bit. I began to think, no, I don't have a prayer life like I need. Sure, I pray every single day before I go to bed. Sure, I pray over my food, but do I really have that prayer life? And the scripture began to roll through my head of the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In other words, the prayer that works the best is the prayer of a righteous man. And then it began to come through praying always in all prayer and supplication to pray without ceasing. And as I began to think about it, I thought, no, I'm not praying like I need to. Because if I'm praying like I need to, I would be praying always and I'd be praying without ceasing. You say, Brother Joshua, it's impossible for us to pray all the time. I know 24 hours in a day, there's time that we have to sleep. There's times that we have to work. There's times that we've got to do certain things. But I believe what that scripture is trying to say there, that us as the children of God, if we would get that prayer-like atmosphere in our life and not just pray before we go to bed or say, now I'll lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Good food, good meat. Thank you, Lord. Let's eat, even though that's my favorite prayer, amen. It goes further than those prayers where we get those times where we get alone with God and we pour our heart out to him and we ring the prayer bells of heaven and say, oh God, I have a burden on my heart. Oh God, we need a revival. Oh God, I don't understand why I'm going through, but God, I'm asking you to come and help me. I'm asking you to reach down your hand of mercy and pull me out of this rock bottom pit and set me up on a solid rock once again. God, I'm asking for your help. Amen. You say, Brother Joshua, what do you mean? God knows what I need before I ever ask him. As a teenager, I remember I would need to go certain places, and I remember that, of course, as a teenager, I did not have money. I didn't have a job, so my gas money came from my dad, and so oftentimes my dad would know that I would have a place to go here and a place to go there, and he would know that I needed gas, but you know what? He never just came up and gave me money and said, go get gas. You know what he wanted me to do? He wanted me to come to him and ask him for it. Sometimes God allows us to go through things in our lives to bring us down to our lowest point, just to get us where we will talk to him and ask him for some things in our life. We want God to bless and we want God to use us. But let me tell you something. If we're slacking in our prayer life, we don't have that good communication with our Heavenly Father. Amen. And can I say, we're all, if we've been born again, we're a part of the army of God. And God is our commander in chief. And I don't know about you, but if you're in the military and you refuse to talk to the commander in chief, you're going to have some issues in your life. Amen. Hey, but can I tell you, if we get to that place where we say, okay, God, I'm going to talk to you like I need to. I'm going to pray to you like I need to. And get those times. Hey, let me tell you where I've had the most help in my life are those nights where I've been laying awake at night in my bed, could not sleep, burdened down and having a heavy heart. And then I began to lay there and just pray and talk to God. And all of a sudden, I feel something wrap around me. And it's not my wife's arms, but it's arms of grace of God wrapping around me and saying everything's going to be okay. Why? Because I was sitting there praying, asking God for his help. And yes, he came down and met me where I was and gave me what I needed. Amen. But we got to pray. Say what else, Brother Joshua? Well, I told God, well, I sing in the choir. Everything's good. The Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. The Bible says, sing praises unto you, God. That's what I'm doing every Sunday in the choir. And he still looked at me and said, well, what about blessing my name? Well, God, that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm praising you. I'm singing praises unto your name. But he said, when was the last time that you blessed my name? See, it goes further than just getting up on Sunday and singing a special. It goes further than getting up in the choir and singing or picking up your church hymnal and singing songs of grace unto God. It goes further than just doing that. The scripture came to me and said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. And man, I began to sit there and think about it. I thought, God, I don't know the last time I just blessed your name. God, I think I have forgotten all your many benefits in my life. I think I've forgotten how good you've been to me. I think oftentimes that's where we get. We want to sing praises unto God, and we thank him for some things, but when it comes down to it, especially in the midst of a storm, we begin to forget about how good God truly has been to us. We begin to forsake blessing his name with all that is within us. Bless his holy name, amen. We get to those times where we got to realize that it's not about us, but it's all about God, and it's not about what I've got, but it's the things that God has blessed me with. I don't have these clothes on because I just went and bought them, but because God blessed me to be able to go buy them. You say, Brother Joshua, I work hard for my money. Brother Joshua, I work hard to be able to pay for the things that I have. Yes, that is great. But if God had not blessed you with the job to provide for that money to get those things, you would have absolutely nothing. In all things, we are to bless his holy name. In all things, we are to glorify him. You want to get out of rock bottom, you just start praying and thanking God for some things. Have some time in your prayer life where you say, I'm not going to ask God for a single thing. I'm not going to ask him to help me in any way, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to get down on my face and I'm going to begin to pour my heart out to him and just thank him for the things that I have. I'm thankful for the clothes on my back. I'm thankful for the roof above my head. I'm thankful for the fruit freedom that I have. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my job and my car, and just continue to go on and on and on. And before long, you'll forget that you were even at rock bottom. Why? Because as you begin to bless the Lord, He'll begin to lift you up. Amen. Amen. If we'll just bless Him, bless His holy name. You say, you don't understand, Brother Joshua, what I'm going through, though. It's hard to bless the Lord in the middle of my storm. It's hard to bless God for the things that I'm going through. Look at old Job here. He has literally lost everything. He's lost his wealth. He's lost his family. He's lost his relationship at this point with his wife. He's lost his health. Job has lost everything. But still, Job stood and said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." I heard a story back in October. We were on our way down to the beach. I'm a Baptist preacher. I don't go to the beach. I go to the coast. We're on our way down to the coast. And so we were listening to a preacher preach, and he began to tell a story. And he was talking about how his wife had lost her mom. And then after that, she had lost a baby. And it's just the list kept going on. And how his wife began to go through a depression like he had never seen. And said, finally one day her dad came over and said, "I have a message on my heart for you that God gave me." And it was over there, I believe it's in 2 Thessalonians, it might be 1 Thessalonians, where it says, "Give thanks unto God, for it is the will of God. In all things give thanks." And she looked at him and said, "How can I thank God for everything He's allowed me to go through?" He said, "No, honey, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about thanking God for your storm, but I'm talking about thanking God in the midst of your storm. In all things, in all circumstances that we're going through, if we'll just get that mindset of no matter what, we're just going to bless Him and we're going to continue to praise Him, God will help give us the glory and give us the victory over the storm in which that we're going through." And said, "Okay, God, not only am I blessing your name now, but I also read my Bible." He said, "But when was the last time you truly studied your Bible?" "Well, God, I have to study if I'm going to be able to go preach. I have to sit down and study. But besides that, when was the last time you studied?" And the scripture hit me, "Hide His word in your heart, that you might not sin against thee." I began to think, well, other than just reading my Bible here and there, and other than just studying when I've got to go preach, I don't have a study life like I need to, God. And began to get convicted about that. And God began to open some things up. And I said, "God, if you'll just lay a book of the Bible on my heart, I'll study it. I don't care if you don't give me a message to preach. God, I just want something that will help me." And He laid the book of Job on my heart. As I opened it up, and my intention was I was still just going to read through the book of Job. But then He started showing me things in the book of Job. And I started looking at it, and I started getting the help that I needed from the book. And as I studied a little bit deeper, I got a little bit more help. And then before long, I left out of Job, and I went over to the book of Psalms, over there where David begins to cry out unto God. And I began to read that scripture and began to study that. What are you saying, Brother Joshua? If you want help in the midst of your storm, in the midst of your trial, if you'll just open the Word of God and begin not just to read it to read, but get into the Word of God and dissect it and begin to study it, God will give us the help that we need. This book is full of instruction. It's full of help. It's full of everything that we need through every obstacle in life. But we have to study His Word. It wasn't until then I realized how important personal devotion time was. It wasn't until then I realized that just reading through the Bible was not me hiding His Word in my heart. It was just me checking a checkbox. But the times where I sat down and say, "Okay, I'm going to open His Word. I'm not going to have any distractions. I'm going to study not just because I have to preach, but because I need God to speak to me." We've got to get back into studying our Bible like we need to. I remember the old song coming up in children's church. Read your Bible and pray every day, and you grow, grow, grow. Neglect your Bible and don't pray every day, and you shrink, shrink, shrink. I'm afraid that's where a lot of us get in our lives, especially in the midst of a storm. We begin to neglect praying, and then we begin to neglect studying the Word of God like we need to. And we wonder why it's so hard to get out of the pits that the devil's got us in. It might be because we have shrunk so small because we've neglected God's Word for so long. We've got to get back into hiding His Word in our heart, studying God's Word. And then I said, okay, God, well, I go on visitation. Ain't that good enough? I'm trying to tell people about You. God said, well, what about the last time that you just went and was a witness? See, I'm all for visitation. I'm all for going and knocking on doors. I love doing it. We did it yesterday with our church. But witnessing goes further than just going on Saturday and knocking on a door and handing someone a gospel tract. Witnessing starts in our own personal life. And if we're not allowing our life to be a light unto everybody else around us, at work, at school, out at the grocery store, out at the doctor's office, what we're doing is we're neglecting our duty to be a witness for God. The Bible says, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. You say, Brother Joshua, that's talking about preachers, preaching and preachers. That word preach in that scripture there does not necessarily mean get up on Sunday morning and get behind a pulpit and preach. The word preach means to proclaim. And what he's saying there is, I want every child of God to go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. It's our job. It's our duty. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of this world. We are a lighthouse that's set up on a hill. And how can they hear except we go and tell them about God? I've had people, I work for the Paulding County government, and I've had people come into the office, and I can hear them down the line from me, cussing and carrying on. I mean, just awful, awful talk to people. Their attitudes are awful. And then I turn around and look down the line and see it's someone I saw at church before. And I thought, man, just sitting here listening to them, I would have never guessed that they claimed to be a Christian. I would have never guessed that they went to church. What are you saying? Our life is to be a witness to everybody around us. We've got to put a guard on ourselves and say, God, I want my life to be used to be a light for You. I want to let my pride go. If You tell me to witness to someone, I'm going to witness to them. You say, Brother Joshua, why is that so important? Because I want to make sure I witness to everybody that I possibly can, because I don't want anybody's blood on my hand when I get to heaven. I remember when I was in high school, and as I was going through the storm, and God only knew what I needed in the time that I was going through it. And I said, God, I'm not witnessing like I need to. So I went back into school. I was in high school at the time, and I began to walk down the halls of McEachern High School with my Bible under my arm. I began to try to let my life be a light to those around me. And I remember one day a boy come up to me that I was friends with, and he began to talk to me. He said, I've got this going on in my life, and I've got this going on in my life. And I finally just looked at him and said, what you need to do is you need to get saved. And I tried to explain that to him, and I sat there and talked to him for a little bit. Finally, he said, well, thank you for talking to me, and he left. A few months went by, and I continued to try to witness to him. I continued to pray for him. And one Sunday, he was at drills. He was in the National Guard, and he was going to have about a two-hour break. He said, where's your church at? So I texted him back real quick. It was during Sunday school. And over here on Story Road, it was Revival Baptist Church at the time. They come in the back. He come walking in the back door. And here he comes walking down. He sat down about the third or fourth pew from the back. Went back and talked to him. It just so happened my dad was preaching that morning on salvation. And at the end of the message, I went down to the altar and I began to try to pray for him, because I wanted to see him get saved. I felt someone tap me on the back, and it was my dad. He said, you might want to go talk to him. And I looked back in the back of the church, and he was going person to person to person, trying to find someone that could show him how to get down to the altar to get saved. Remember that day we knelt down the altar and I gave him one more time the plan of salvation, showed him in the Bible. He got up and announced that he got saved to the church. Really deep down inside of me, I wanted to take a lap about a mile that way, then run back a mile that way, and then come back and shout for a little bit. That's really what I wanted to do. And I began to sit there and think to myself, God, had I not went through what I'd went through, had you not got me to where I needed to be with you, he might not have ever gotten saved. God might have you in the storm that you're going through just to get you to where he wants you to be. Last point here, and then we'll be closing. Job finally got to that place where he took that posture, and it said he scraped himself with awe, and he sat down in the ashes. For years, I thought that he was sitting down in the ashes of where he had just scraped all those boils off of him. But really and truly where Job was, Job had went to the place where he offered sacrifices every day unto God. Job had no livestock to offer as a sacrifice. Brother, he didn't even have a son at this point to be like Abraham and try to offer a son as a sacrifice. And so what Job did was he sat down there in them ashes from all those other sacrifices. You said, why did he do that? Because he got to the place where he said, God, I can't do nothing else on my own. I have nothing else to give, but God, I can give myself. Really and truly, that's where we need to get in our lives. Where we get to the place where we sit down in the ashes and we say, God, there's nothing else for me to give. God, I've tried to give everything that I have, and it's not working. God, I can give you everything else, but God, until I give you myself. See, if you continue reading in the book of Job, toward the end of the book, there, I think it's about chapter number 42, the Bible says it turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. The reason God allowed Job to go through what he went through, yes, he was a perfect and upright man. Yes, he feared God and eschewed evil. But Job had an issue with pride in his heart. And God knew had he not brought him down to that lowest point where he finally said, I've got to let my pride go and not just pray for myself and my family, but pray for everybody else around me. God turned the captivity of Job. And he came out stronger in the end. All the livestock that he had double the amount. God blessed him with another 7 sons and 3 daughters. God blessed the captivity of Job. Why? Because he finally came to that place where he said, it's not about me, but it's about God. Can I say, God might be allowing you to go through what you're going through right now, to try to get you to a place where you realize it's not about you, but it's about him. It's not about anything that we can do, but it's all about what God can use us to do for his glory. I ask that you this morning, as they come to the instruments for a song, maybe you're here and you are going through a storm. Can I say, don't give up. Don't give in. I understand there's times that we feel like waving that white flag of surrender. But surely if Job, with everything that he went through, can continue to push on and continue to bless the Lord, surely we can too. Hold on to the end. Why? Because Job come out stronger in the end. And I can guarantee you, if you'll hold on, God will bring us out stronger in the end. He's a very present help in the time of trouble. Say, I've been going through this for so long. I've been faced with the same storm, the same trial, day after day, for years. Why don't you get down the altar and call out on his name this morning? Say, God, I'm asking you to help me. Why? He's a very present help in the time of trouble. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So in other words, that same God that helped Job, he's still the same God today. He can still deliver you out of your storm. He can still deliver you. And here's what's crazy. Oftentimes in the midst of those storms, we think that we're all by ourselves. But what we forget is that he's right by our side every step of the way. If we'll just ask him, he'll reach up and grab his hand and allow him to guide us, he can get us through the rest of the storm. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your message. God, most importantly, we thank you that you are that very present help. God, I don't know anybody's heart here this morning. Surely, Lord, there's a reason why you changed my heart just sitting in the pew a few minutes ago. But God, I pray, Lord, now that you'll just speak to hearts, speak to minds. Lord, I pray that you'll allow us to take what we've heard, apply it to our heart and life. God, if there's anybody here that's going through something, I pray, God, that today might be the day that they can claim victory over that storm. Lord, I pray that you'll help us, and in your name we pray, as we stand and as we sing.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot to
I was raised always being told one thing about storms in your life. We're always either in a storm, coming out of a storm, or we're about to go into a storm. You say, well, Brother Joshua, I don't have a reason to pray. Maybe you want to make an altar right where you're at. And say, well, no, I'm not going through nothing right now, but maybe you want to begin to prepare your heart for the storm that is to come. We don't know what tomorrow might hold. We don't know what tomorrow might bring. And if we've been out of a storm for a while, I guarantee you one thing. A storm is coming. The devil is going to continue to work. He's going to continue to get us down. It'd be better to be prayed up and ready for when that storm does hit. As we sing one more verse.
Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot.
appreciate the attention this morning. I pray that it was a help and a blessing. I'll be turning it back over.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Joshua, Miss Kaylee, for being here with us this morning. Thank you for the message. And we're thankful for each one that's come this way this morning. Please just continue to pray that the Lord's will be done. And I know a lot of folks, again, are going through some storms. And we want to continue to lift each one of them up in prayer. Remember service this evening at 5 o'clock downstairs in the fellowship hall. Brother Ceylon, do we have anything else you want to share? All right. Well, let's pray for one another. Pray the Lord give us a great day. And again, thank you for being here today. Lord, we love you and we thank you for the opportunity we've had. Lord, thank you for the messenger that you sent our way today. And thank you, Lord, for the message. Thank you, Lord, for being with us when we go through our storms. We all have them. If we're not in one now, one may be just around the corner. And Lord, I pray that you would help us, that we would seek you. Lord, for when we seek you, we know that we will find you. Be with these that are going through storms. Touch them. Lord, those that are going through physical storms, we pray that you'd have your hand upon them. Give us a great day. Bring us back to your house this evening at 5 o'clock. We'll praise you and thank you for all that's accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.